I understood your parents were dead.
No, my father is not dead. It is my mother who died.
Oh, I am sorry.
It is some years ago now. I'm very pleased to have met you. I hope we will have the pleasure of meeting again soon.
Shall you be at the Cotillion on Thursday?
Perhaps. Yes, I think we certainly shall.
Well, I am going as well.
Then we shall certainly meet there.
Catherine, over here.
Dearest, you look radiant. John has just walked off, but he will be back shortly.
He will want to dance with you. Help me pin up my tray. Oh,
you must tell him that he need not trouble himself. There, it is done.
Not trouble himself, you arch creature. He is dying of impatience. I must leave you, dearest. Your brother insists on the first dance.
Well, my dear Catherine, you should be with the young people. Is that not so, Mrs. Thorpe?
I am sure John will want to dance with you. He is a great favourite at dances. Why, there he is. I shall fetch him over.
No, please, I do not care.
But you must dance, my dear. You know you like dancing.
Every young lady may feel for my heroine, for every young lady has at some time or other known a similar agitation, to be in danger from the pursuit of someone whom they wish to avoid, and anxious for the attention of someone whom they wish to please.
Good evening, Mrs. Allen.
Oh, good evening, my dear.
Good evening again, Miss Morland.
Miss Tilney, I am very pleased to see you.
Is something troubling you?
Oh, dear, does it show?
A little.
There is a friend of my brother's who I wish to avoid.
You see that red-faced young man?
It is. And his mother and sister say he wants to dance with me.
And you don't want to dance with him?
Well, I really would rather not.
Here comes Henry. Oh. He may provide a solution to your problem.
Ah, good evening, Mrs. Allen.
Good evening.
Miss Morland, I'm glad to see you again. I see you have met my sister. May I lay claim to this dance?
Yes, you may. Thank you.
I'm very happy to see you again, sir, indeed. And I'm glad you've managed to change her mind.
Have I?
Why, only just now she announced that she would not dance. We were afraid you had left Bath.
Some business in my parish detained me.
I dare say you are not sorry to be back again. It is just the place for young people. I tell Mr. Allen when he talks of being sick of it.
Miss Morland.
Mr. Thorpe.
Oh, I suppose we are to jig about.
I am sorry I am already engaged to dance.
Oh, heyday, Miss Morland. What's the meaning of this? Well, I thought it was fixed that you and I were to dance together.
I wonder you should think so, for you never asked me.
Well, that's a good one, by Jove. Well, I was about to ask you as soon as I came into the room, but when I turned round, you were gone. It's a cursed shabby trick. I only came for the sake of dancing with you.
Oh, I'm sure you did not.
Miss Morland?
What chap have you there?
Mr. Tilney.
That's a cursed shabby trick, I say.
He would have put me out of patience had he stayed with you half a minute longer.
He is the brother of my particular friend.
He had no business to take the attention of my partner from me. I consider a country dance as an emblem of marriage.
I am sure they are very different things.
Consider. Fidelity and compliance are the principal duties of both. Men who do not choose to dance or marry themselves have no business with the partners or wives of their neighbours.
It isn't the same. People that marry can never part. People that dance only stand opposite each other in a room for half an hour.
In each case, the man has the advantage of choice, woman the power of refusal. The man and woman belong exclusively to each other till the moment of dissolution. Their duty is to give the other no cause for wishing to be otherwise engaged.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Then your notions of the duties of dancing are not so strict as I might wish. If any gentleman were to address you, there would be nothing to restrain you from talking to him for as long as you choose.
But Mr. Thorpe is a friend of my brother's, that if he talks to me, I must talk to him again. Apart from him, I don't know anyone else.
That is no great security.
If I do not know anybody, I cannot talk to them. Besides, I do not want to talk to anybody else.
Now you have given me a security worth having, and I shall proceed with courage.
Oh, look. There are two chairs.
Where?
Next to the lady in green. Quick, or we'll lose them.
I see you have improved your skill in finding chairs since our first meeting.
Thank you.
I am failing in my duties as a partner.
How is that?
I have not asked if you are enjoying your time in Bath.
Is that necessary?
It is the expected thing.
In that case, I am enjoying Bath enormously.
Take care, or you will forget to be tired of it at the proper time.
What is the proper time?
6 weeks is considered normal.
Well, I do not think I should be tired if I were to stay here 6 months.
It is the fashion to find it inferior to London after the proper time.
Well, other people must judge for themselves. I live in a small village in the country. In Bath, there are things to do and things to see I never thought of in Fullerton.
You have grown tired of the country?
Oh, not at all. I have always lived there and always been very happy. But one day in the country is exactly like another. I help Mama or call on Mrs. Allen.
Ah, Mrs. Allen.
Why do you smile?
Oh, no reason.
I think you laugh too much at people.
There is a difference between smiling and laughter.
Well, Mrs. Allen has been very good to me. If you laugh at her, you may come to laugh at me.
I promise you that I will never laugh at you. I may often smile, though.
When I am at home again, I shall always be talking of Bath. Who can ever be tired of Bath?
No one who brings such fresh feelings to it as you do. How do you spend your time here?
I read a great deal.
And what are you reading?
Oh, I don't want you to laugh.
Remember my promise.
The Mysteries of Udolpho, Mrs. Radcliffe.
Ah.
I expect you will think it is all nonsense.
I will not.
Well, Catherine, has my brother been agreeable?
Yes, thank you.
I am always agreeable.
You are sometimes agreeable.
I shall prove it to you. Miss Morland is reading Udolpho, and consequently likes nature at its wildest. I suggest, if the weather holds, we three take a walk to Beechen Cliff.
Oh.
I promise it will not disappoint you.
Oh, I should like it beyond anything in the world.
The weather may not be suitable. We've had so much rain recently.
Oh, do not let us put it off. Let us go tomorrow.
If the weather is good, I dare say we may venture forth.
The weather will be good. I know it will.
Henry, have you seen our father?
He's still in the card room, I imagine.
Oh, in that case.
I did not know your father was here tonight.
On these occasions, he prefers the card room to the ballroom. Now, Miss Morland, you are engaged, and we shall call for you at 12.
The rest of the evening passed in a whirl of happiness, until Catherine cheerfully submitted to the wish of Mr. Allen, which took them away rather early, and her spirits danced within her as she danced in her chair all the way home.
Oh, dear. It has not stopped raining.
You will not make it stop by looking out of the window.
I shan't give up yet. It is only 12. It may clear at any moment.
I have no doubt in the world of it being a very fine day if the clouds would only go off and the sun keep out.
It's only a little rain. Perhaps it may come to nothing.
Perhaps it may.
Well, there are 4 umbrellas already. I hate the sight of an umbrella.
Yes, they are disagreeable things to carry. I would much rather take a chair. Oh, there will be very few people in the pump room if it keeps raining.
There. It has stopped again.
But the streets will be so very wet.
There they are. I knew they would come.
I hope Mr. Allen will put on his great coat when he goes out, but I dare say he will not. Oh, what a commotion.
Make haste. Make haste. Put on your hat this moment. Well, there's no time to be lost. We're going to Bristol. How do you do, Mrs. Allen?
Is not Bristol a long way off?
I cannot go with you today. I am already engaged. I expect some friends at every moment.
What? Good day, Mrs. Allen.
Oh, good day. My sweetest Catherine, is not this delightful? We shall have a most heavenly drive. You are to thank your brother and me for the scheme.
Yes, we shall drive directly to Clifton and dine there. As soon as dinner's over, we shall go on to King's Weston.
I doubt we're able to do so much.
Yeah, we should be able to do 10 times more. King's Weston, aye. Yeah. And Blaise Castle, too. And anything else we think of.
Blaise Castle? What is that?
Oh, finest place in England. Worth going 50 miles to see.
What? Is it really a castle, an old castle?
Oldest in the kingdom, I imagine.
But is it like what one reads of?
Exactly the same, dearest. It could be the model for the castle in Udolpho.
Oh, then I should like to see it. But I cannot go.
Not go? My beloved creature, what can you mean?
Miss Tilney and her brother are to call on me to take a country walk. They promised to come at 12, only it rained. And now, as it is so fine, I dare say they will be here soon.
No, I vow they will not.
Well, why is that?
I saw them. Yes, we turned into Broad Street. Do you drive a phaeton with bright chestnuts, does it not?
I do not know.
Oh, yeah, I know it does. I saw him. You were talking of the man you danced with last night, are not you?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I saw him at that moment turn up the Lansdowne Road in a phaeton, driving a smart-looking gal.
Are you sure?
No, I knew him again directly.
It is very odd. But I suppose they thought it would be too dirty for a walk.
Yeah, well, they might. I never saw so much dirt in my life. Walk? Well, you could never walk than you could fly.
My dearest Catherine, you cannot refuse going now.
I should like to see the castle. But what if they are only gone out for an hour till it is drier? They may call by and by.
Hmm? Well, there's no danger of that. I heard Tilney hallooing to a man who was just passing by on horseback. They said they were going as far as Wick Rocks.
And then I will. Shall I go, Mrs. Allen?
I think you must go, Catherine.
Mrs. Allen, you must persuade her.
Just as you please, my dear.
Get on with it. Oh. Ah, and try not to get lost this time, Morgan. Famous ball last night, was it not?
Yes.
I still say it was a cursed shabby trick. I come only to dance with you.
Mr. Thorpe, could you drive a little slower? It is most uncomfortable to travel at this rate.
What? Oh, if we must. We have a long way to go. This gig was built for speed, you know. Who's that staring at you?
Who? Where?
The girl on the right-hand pavement. She's almost out of sight now.
Oh, stop! Stop, Mr. Thorpe! It is Miss Tilney. Oh, it is indeed.
What? Well, what the devil are you talking about?
You told me they were gone. Stop at once. I will get out this moment and go to them.
Get on there.
No.
Yeah. Sorry, I can't hear you this morning. We must put on a turn of speed if we get to Clay's castle before nightfall.
No, please stop, Mr. Thorpe. I cannot go on. No, I will not go on. I must go back to Miss Tilney.
Yeah. I could have sworn it was Tilney in that face. In fact, I know it was him.
I saw them with my own eyes.
Are you sure? I mean, it could have been another couple altogether.
How could you deceive me so, Mr. Thorpe? How could you say you saw them? I would not have had it happen for the world. They must think it so strange, so rude of me, to go by them without saying a word. You do not know how vexed I am.
Well, it was you who wanted to see Blaise Castle, was it not?
I shall have no pleasure in that, nor Clifton, nor in anything else. How could you say you saw them driving out in a phaeton?
Well, I'm a fool to try and please you. Why is all this fuss about Tilney? Half the man General Tilney is.
Oh, how would you know?
Well, I met him in the card room last night. He's a fine old fellow. Rich, too, upon my soul. He was glad to make my acquaintance. We talked of billiards. And of you.
You talked about me?
Told him you were the finest girl in Bath. He seemed inclined to take notice of what I said.
You had no right to talk of me.
No right after all the fine things I said to him.
Thorpe!
Oh, now what does that brother of yours want?
We had better go back.
What's that to say?
It is too late to go on today.
Well, have you not got such a damn beast to drive? We might have done it very well.
We have been an hour from Pulteney Street and we're not halfway there. We set out too late.
He is right. We'd better put it off until another day.
Well, my horse would have trotted to Clifton within the hour.
Dear Catherine, I am sorry you are disappointed in Blaise Castle.
I don't care about Blaise Castle.
Don't look so cross. You would quite break my heart.
I am more vexed than I can say.
She's been scolding me because we saw the Tilneys.
You should not have misled.
No, not that again.
The Tilneys were entirely to blame. They should have been more punctual. It was dirty indeed, but what did that signify? We did not mind.
So it signified everything. I have been rude to people who have been kind to me and must appear ungrateful and sly because I did not hold firm. I cannot bear to think of it.
I think we must turn back.
Go on or stay. It's all one to me.
But please, take me home now.
So the party returned to Bath, much less in spirits than when they started out. And now I may dismiss my heroine to the sleepless couch, which is the true heroine's portion, to a pillow strewed with thorns and wet with tears.
In episode 1 of Northanger Abbey, Jane Austen was played by Amanda Root and Catherine by Emily Wachter. Henry was played by David Harewood, Mrs. Allen by Julia McKenzie, and Isabella by Claire Skinner. Eleanor was played by Saskia Reeves. Mrs. Thorpe by Jenny Agutter, and John Thorpe by Jonathan Keeble. James was played by Shiv Graywall, and Mr. Allen by John Rowe. Mr. Morland was played by Gerard McDermott, and Mrs. Morland by Susan Jameson. Northanger Abbey was written by Jane Austen and dramatised by Dominic Power. The Spinet was played by Mimi Waitsman. The composer was Peter Weigold. And the director was Pam Fraser-Solomon. Northanger Abbey by Jane Austen. Dramatised for radio by Dominic Power. Episode 2.
To be disgraced in the eyes of the world, to wear the appearance of infamy while the heart is all purity, is one of those circumstances which peculiarly belong to the heroine's life. Catherine suffered, but no murmur passed her lips. On the morning after the misadventure of the Clifton trip, she determined to set matters right with the Tilneys.
Mrs. Allen, will there be any harm in my calling on Miss Tilney today?
Why is that, Catherine?
Catherine is most unhappy. She had to disappoint Miss Tilney going for a walk yesterday.
Rather wet for a walk, I would have thought.
Exactly what I said. But Miss Tilney called anyway, with her brother.
So the matter was settled then?
No, not in the least. Catherine had already gone out with the Thorpes and her brother.
Miss Tilney's brother?
No, James, Catherine's brother. Do pay attention, Mr. Allen. Catherine was put in a very difficult position because young Mr. Thorpe misled Catherine into believing that the Tilneys were not coming for her.
Thank you, my dear, for that clear account of Catherine's adventures to date.
What made it more vexing?
I beg you, ma'am, this is more than enough to be going on with.
Shall I go to Miss Tilney, then?
Are you not engaged to see Isabella this morning?
I shall call on Isabella afterwards.
Go by all means, Catherine.
Only put on a white gown. Miss Tilney always wears white.
Catherine hastened away to Milsom Street to pay her visit, explain her conduct, and be forgiven.
Yes?
Is Miss Tilney at home?
Yes, I believe so.
Would you be so good as to send my name up?
Your name?
If you would be so good.
I need your name.
Oh, of course. It is Miss Morland.
Wait here, Miss Morland.
As the footman disappeared, Catherine was conscious that her confidence in her welcome was diminishing by the moment, and she was now in a considerable state of suspense.
Miss Tilney is not in.
Oh, dear, I thought you said
she's gone out.
Gone out?
Yes. Good day.
Catherine, with a blush of mortification, left the house. She felt almost persuaded that Miss Tilney was at home, and too much offended to admit her.
Lost a quarter of an hour already. Come along. Come along. What?
Nothing, Father.
Miss Tilney issued from the door, followed by a gentleman of commanding appearance whom Catherine could only suppose to be General Tilney. She could almost be angry herself at such angry incivility. But she remembered her own ignorance. She knew not how such an offence as hers might be classed by the laws of worldly politeness.
On the massy walls of the edifice, her melancholy represented it to be a prison.
Stop, dearest Catherine. You are making heavy weather of Udolpho this morning.
Oh, I'm sorry, Isabella.
You used to read with such fire that I could fancy you were Emily defying Montoni. Today it seems to have some other meaning for you. Are we, John, your brother and myself, Montoni's banditti who have kidnapped you against your will?
I keep remembering how badly I behaved to Miss Tilney and her brother.
Oh. Morning, Bella.
John.
Ah, Miss Morland. Good day to you.
Mr. Thorpe.
Your brother and I saw a couple of dogs fighting in Bridge Street.
John.
Capital sport.
Good day to you, Miss Thorpe. Hello, Kitty. I did not expect to find you here.
Oh, you should have seen it, Miss Morland. A terrier and a pug going at it like nobody's business.
Please, John. Catherine is out of spirits.
What is wrong, Kitty?
The Tilneys are punishing her for choosing to go with us yesterday. She was turned away when she called on them. I'm sick when I think of it.
Perhaps it may be a misunderstanding. Indeed, I am sure that it must be.
You are as generous and good-natured as your sister. If all the world thought like you, dear Mr. Morland, the world would be a better, kinder place.
Oh, not really.
Yes.
I mean, it's good of you to say so.
Modesty is another Morland virtue.
I cannot believe they meant to wound me. If they are at the play tonight, I will explain to them.
I don't know what all the fuss is about. Now, we're off to look at a gig for Morland. Come with us.
Not now, brother. We are reading to each other to raise our spirits. You may stay if you wish and keep us company.
What's this? Mysteries of Udolpho. Oh, no, thank you, sister. I think Miss Morland knows my opinion of such stuff.
I should like to stay.
Bravo, Mr. Morland. Mind, you must not tease or interrupt us. We take our reading very seriously, you see.
You will hardly know I am here.
I shall know very well you are here.
Well, I'm off. Good day to you, Miss Morland.
Give me the book, Catherine. Let me see, Mr. Morland. Ah, here. It was not until they reached the Great Hall that Emily and Valancourt recollected there were other persons in the world besides themselves.
Catherine had some thoughts of not going to the theatre that night, but it must be confessed that they were not of long continuance, for it was a play she very much wanted to see.
Who do you see, Mr. Allen?
Nobody, ma'am. I am come to see the play, not our acquaintance.
Who is that?
The maid.
No, not on the stage. There, in that box, in the yellow gown.
I do not know, Mrs. Allen.
I admire the colour very much.
Upon the beginning of the fifth act, the sudden view of Mr. Henry Tilney and his father joining a party in the opposite box recalled to Catherine her earlier anxiety and distress.
What are you looking at, my dear? Oh, I see. Is not Mr. Tilney's father handsome? Mr. Tilney!
Mrs. Allen!
At length, he looked towards her and bowed. But such a bow. No smile or continued observance. Catherine could have almost run round to the box in which she sat and forced him to hear her explanation.
Oh, that was very agreeable, my dear, most spirited. But you'll have to explain it to me, for I could not understand what all the to-do was about. Oh, Mr. Tilney.
Mrs. Allen, I trust you enjoyed the play. Miss Morland.
Your Catherine was just asking after
Mr.
you.
Mr. Allen, how are you, sir?
Passable, Tilney, just passable.
Could you follow the play, Mr. Tilney? For I confess I could not.
Mr. Tilney, I did not mean to be rude. Truly I didn't. Did I, Mrs. Allen? Did they not tell me Mr. Tilney and his sister had gone out in a phaeton together?
Eleanor and I were pleased that you wished us a pleasant walk. We saw you look back on purpose.
I did not wish you a pleasant walk. I begged Mr. Thorpe to stop, but he would drive on. Mrs. Allen, did I not?
What, dear?
Beg Mr. Thorpe to stop.
If you say so.
Well, indeed I did. I hope Miss Tilney will not still be angry with me.
To my knowledge, she's not in the least angry.
She must be, for she would not see me when I called on her. I saw her walk out of the house just afterwards.
Ah, now it is we who must apologise. My father is very particular about observing times. When you called, it was the hour he usually takes his walk, and he did not wish to postpone it.
Oh, I am very pleased that is all it was.
It is generous of you not to resent such treatment. Eleanor will be relieved.
But, Mr. Tilney, why were you less forgiving than your sister? If she felt no anger towards me, then why did you?
Me? Angry?
I saw how you frowned at me from your box.
If I did, it was because I was disappointed to have missed your company yesterday.
I would 1,000 times sooner gone out with you and Miss Tilney.
1,000 times sooner? I am pleased to hear it. Even 100 times sooner would have contented me.
A
delightful service, was it not, Catherine?
Yes, Mrs. Allen.
Good morning, Mrs. Allen. Mr. Allen.
How nice to see you, Miss Tilney.
Is your brother here?
Yes, he's talking to the rector. Miss Morland, I hoped that I would see you here.
I am very pleased to see you.
Ever since yesterday, I have wished to apologise for my rudeness when you called round and were not admitted.
Oh, it does not matter, I assure you. Your brother explained the circumstance.
He told me how generous you were. And because of that, I feel emboldened to ask whether we may not try again for our walk.
Oh, I should very much like that.
Good. When would suit you?
Oh, let it be tomorrow.
That would not be too soon.
I will not fail you this time.
Morning.
Morning. Morning, Mrs. Allen. Mr. Allen.
Dear Mrs. Allen, what a charming bonnet.
Thank you, my dear.
Mr. Allen, the waters must be doing you a great deal of good. I did not recognise you.
Fresh young faces are the best tonic, Miss Thorpe.
If our young men in Bath were only a quarter as gallant as you, we should have a delightful time. Miss Tilney, we have come to claim our dear Catherine from you. Take your sister's arm, Mr. Morland.
Come along, Kitty. We are to walk along the crescent.
Goodbye, Miss Tilney.
Goodbye.
Bye.
My dear, you look radiant. I have not been able to sleep for thinking how miserable you were yesterday.
Oh, I'm over that now.
We have a scheme to further your happiness. While you have been idling with Miss Tilney, your brother and I have been busy.
It is all Miss Thorpe's idea. I cannot take any credit.
We shall go to Clifton after all. We have just now settled it.
Oh, I thought the scheme had been abandoned.
Postponed only. Think, you shall see Blaise Castle after all.
Oh, good notion, eh, Miss Morland? Leave at midday. Plenty of time for a good dinner at Clifton.
When do you intend to go?
Tomorrow. We shall have a heavenly time of it.
I cannot go tomorrow. Any other time, but not tomorrow.
But we have all agreed on it.
I cannot go.
What do you mean you cannot go?
I am engaged to walk with Miss Tilney.
Not that old song. When is it that you are not engaged to Miss Tilney?
Tell her you had just been reminded of a prior engagement and must only beg to put off the walk till Tuesday.
They are still in sight. You may catch them up if you hurry.
There has been no prior engagement. I will not tell a lie.
I cannot help being jealous, Catherine, when I see myself slighted for strangers. I who love you so excessively.
It is not much to ask for such a friend. Isabella always falls in with your wishes.
Could we not as easily go on Tuesday?
I do not know that I might not be engaged on Tuesday. Probably will, now I think on it.
Then there is an end of the party. If Catherine does not go, I cannot.
Catherine, you must go. You cannot disappoint Miss Thorpe.
But why cannot Mr. Thorpe drive one of his other sisters?
Thank ye, but I did not come to Bath to drive my sisters about and look like a fool. No, if you do not go... Damn me if I do.
Thorpe, wait!
When Miss Morland has made up her mind, perhaps she will be good enough to let me know.
There is an end of our outing.
I did not think you had been so obstinate, Catherine. You used to be the kindest, best-tempered of my sisters.
Well, I hope I still am, but I cannot go. If I am wrong, I am doing what I believe to be right.
They continued walking together in a most uncomfortable manner for poor Catherine. Sometimes not a word was said. Sometimes she was attacked with supplications or reproaches, and her arm was linked within Isabella's, though their hearts were at war.
Well, there you are. I've settled the matter. Very neatly, I may add.
Unless you can persuade Miss Morland, there will be no expedition.
You've done better than that. Been to Miss Tilney and made your excuses.
You have not. Oh, tell me you have not.
He caught up with her and her brother. Yeah, I come from Miss Morland, says I. She's only just recollected a prior engagement, so will not have the pleasure of walking till Tuesday. Pretty good thought of mine, eh?
A most heavenly thought indeed. My sweet Catherine, all our distresses are over and you are honourably acquitted.
You had no right to speak for me. I must run after Miss Tilney directly and set her right.
What for? It's all one to her.
You will not disappoint your friends now, surely.
I do not care. Let me go. Isabella, do not hold me so. This is the second time you have tricked me into being rude.
Catherine! Come back!
Away walked Catherine, as fast as the crowd would permit her. Quickening her pace when she got clear of the crescent, she almost ran over the remaining ground till she gained the top of Milsom Street.
Miss Tilney.
Yes?
I must speak with Miss Tilney. I know that she is at home. I just saw her come in.
Miss Morland, isn't it? I shall announce you.
There is no need. I assure you, I shall not be a minute.
Miss Morland.
I'm sorry. I am coming in a great hurry. A mistake, you see.
Oh, Miss Morland, dear Miss Morland, please come through.
Thank you. I told them from the first I could not go. I ran away in a great hurry to explain it. I did not care what you thought of me. I would not stay for the servant. Did Mr. Thorpe tell you I was engaged to go to Clifton with them?
He did. We were very much surprised.
Well, he had no right. No right at all. I told them from the first I could not go.
That was very kind of you.
Indeed it was.
Please be seated, Miss Morland.
Thank you. I do not want you to think badly of me a second time.
I own I was disappointed when Mr. Thorpe told us you were already engaged. But you have made up for our disappointment handsomely.
Confounded noise, huh? Running footsteps, dashing about. The servant's gone mad.
It is Miss Morland come to see us, Father.
Miss Morland. Well, 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 this is an unexpected honour. Oh, why in heaven's name was she not properly announced?
It was my fault. I came in a great hurry.
Why was that?
Well, I had arranged to walk with Miss Tilney, and Mr. Thorpe had told her that I was already engaged when I was not.
Oh.
I was anxious to make the matter right.
Well, that shows handsomely, by heavens it does. To brave inconvenience to relieve the anxiety of a friend. Handsome indeed, is it not, Henry?
Yes, Father.
Why has our guest not been offered refreshment? What were you thinking of, Eleanor?
No, really. I must get back to Mr. and Mrs. Allen. They will wonder where I am.
So my young friend Thorpe has been making mischief, hmm?
He has said something that was not true.
Principled. Admirably so. Still, one may understand the telling of a white lie for the pleasure of retaining the company of Miss Morland of Fullerton.
I wish he had not done it.
Then his punishment must be exile from your company. Are you sure you'll not stay?
Oh, I cannot.
I shall not say another word. The claims of Mr. and Mrs. Allen must be absolute. Henry, Eleanor, we must let Miss Morland go.
We shall see you tomorrow.
We are very glad that you came to see us.
Perhaps another day you'd do my daughter the honour of dining here and spending the day in her company, I trust that Mr. Allen will be able to spare you for a day. Shall we say, Wednesday?
Oh, I should like that very much.
Splendid, splendid.
We shall walk with you to the door.
No, there's no need. I'll do it myself. Come, Miss Morland. You must tell me more about Mr. Allen's estates at Fullerton.
Oh, Catherine, I heard from Mrs. Thorpe there is a trip to Clifton proposed for tomorrow with John Thorpe and Isabella.
What's that?
In an open carriage, I think she said.
Good Lord, I trust you do not think of going, Catherine.
I cannot. I am engaged to walk with Miss Tilney.
Good, good. It is not at all the thing. Young men and women driving about the country in open carriages, going to inns and public places together. I wonder Mrs. Thorpe should allow it. Mrs. Allen, you are of my mind, are you not?
Indeed, indeed. Open carriages are nasty things. A clean gown is not 5 minutes' wear in them.
Yes, yes, but that is not the question. Is it not wrong for young ladies to be driven about in them by young men to whom they are not even related?
Yes, my dear, very wrong. I cannot bear to see it.
Why did you not tell me so before? If I had known it was wrong, I would not have gone with Mr. Thorpe at all.
I will always do the best for you in my power, as I told your dear mother. But young people will be young people. Remember how I warned you not to buy that sprigged muslin, but you would.
You would not have found me hard to persuade this time.
Well, there is no harm done. I would only advise you, my dear, not to go out with Mr. Thorpe any more.
That is just what I was going to say.
I will be guided by you in future.
The next morning was fair, and Eleanor and Henry called for Catherine at the appointed time. And no new difficulty arising, my heroine was most unnaturally able to fulfil her engagement, though it was made with the hero himself. They left the city and ascended Beechen Cliff.
I think we should stop for a moment. Look, Miss Morland, here you may see the true Bath. Small, is it not? Oh,
I often look up at this cliff. It always makes me think of the south of France.
Oh, when were you there?
Oh, never. I only mean what I have read about.
Oh, it puts me in mind of the country that Emily and her father travelled through in The Mysteries of Udolpho.
Ah, I see.
Now you mention it, it is like the paintings I have seen of the French landscape.
Oh, I would give anything in the world to be able to draw.
A very worthwhile ambition.
I hope this is not to be the beginning of a sermon, Henry.
Oh, but of course, Eleanor, of course.
A lecture on the picturesque followed, in which Henry's instructions were so clear that she soon began to see beauty in everything admired by him. He talked of foregrounds, distances and second distances, lights and shades. Delighted with her progress and fearful of burdening her with too much wisdom at once, Henry moved on to politics. And from politics, it was an easy step to silence.
I have heard that something very shocking indeed will soon come out in London.
Good heavens, what sort of thing?
Oh, I do not know. I have only heard that it is to be more horrible than anything we have met with yet.
How did you hear of it?
A particular friend of mine had an account of it in a letter from London yesterday. Oh, it is to be uncommonly dreadful. Oh. Murder and everything of the kind.
You speak with astonishing composure. Perhaps your friend's account is exaggerated. If it is known about, the government must take proper measures to prevent it.
Shall I make you understand each other? Or leave you to puzzle out an explanation as best you can?
Miss Morland, do not mind him. I want to know more about this dreadful riot.
Riot? What riot?
I believe you are talking of nothing more dreadful than a new novel, which is shortly to come out, in 3 duodecimo volumes, with a frontispiece of 2 tombstones and a lantern.
Oh, a novel.
Eleanor has imagined a howling mob in St. George's Fields, and the streets of London flowing with blood. A detachment of the 12th Light Dragoons called up from Northampton to quell the insurgents, the gallant Captain Frederick Tilney at the head of his troop, knocked from his horse by a missile thrown from an upper window.
Henry, now that you have made us understand each other, you must explain your lack of manners to Miss Morland.
I shall do better than that. I shall declare my admiration for novels.
Oh, I did not think men cared for them. Miss Thorpe's brother told me that novels were stupid.
If Mr. Thorpe cannot enjoy a good novel, he must be very foolish. Once I had started Udolpho, I could not put it down.
It's true. He promised to read it aloud to me. But when I was called away for 5 minutes, instead of waiting for me, he took it away with him.
Oh, well, in that case, I shall never again be ashamed of liking Udolpho.
Come, Miss Morland. Let us leave my brother to his distances and second distances.
Frederick Tilney must be your other brother.
Yes. He is with his regiment just now.
Oh, it is good to have brothers. I am very fond of my brother James.
I can see that you are.
Did you really think I meant a real riot?
I'm afraid I did. But I shall maintain I did not, or Henry will become insufferable. You must support me.
I will.
Oh, see? Here is a charming view of the city.
Yes. Oh, isn't Bath the nicest place?
It is indeed quite the nicest.
Early the next day, a note from Isabella, speaking peace and tenderness in every line, and entreating the immediate presence of her friend on a matter of the utmost importance, hastened Catherine to Edgar's buildings.
My dear Catherine, you know the truth. That arch eye of yours, it sees through everything. I have tried to keep it from you in vain.
What truth?
My beloved, sweetest friend. So you guessed it the moment you had my note?
Isabella, what are you saying?
Your brother is the most charming of men. I only wish I were more worthy of him.
Isabella, you're not...
Yes, my sweet.
You love James?
Yes, he has asked me to be his wife.
His wife? Oh,
I am glad you were not with us yesterday, for he felt able to speak all his heart to me.
Where is he?
He has set out for Fullerton to speak to your father about it. Imagine, Catherine, we are to be sisters.
Oh, it has been my dearest wish.
Has it, my sweet?
Well, it would have been, if I had thought of it. Truly, Isabella, I never guessed.
I was lost the first moment I saw him. I wore my yellow gown and my hair was done up in braids. I'm quite faint when I remember it.
Well... Catherine, dear James has thrown us all into such a state of pretty disorder.
Mama, Catherine is happy for me. That is one of my fears quieted.
Well, what can you have to be afraid of now that it is settled?
We await your father's permission. We may know the answer tomorrow.
My Isabella is too sensitive for her own good. This business has put her through agonies.
I shall never have the courage to open the letter.
They will consent. They will be delighted with you.
Morland says exactly the same, and yet I dare not expect it. My fortune will be so small.
Indeed, Isabella, the difference in fortune can be nothing to signify.
I know it would signify nothing to you, but not all the world see things as you do, my dearest Catherine. For myself, I only wish our situations were reversed. Had I the command of millions, were I mistress of the whole world, your brother would be my only choice.
My Isabella has such a generous heart.
I detest grandeur. I would not settle in London for the universe. A cottage in some retired village would be ecstasy.
There are some charming little villas about Richmond.
Aye, Richmond would do very well.
Richmond? You must settle near Fullerton. You must be near us.
I am sure I shall be miserable if we are not near you. And dear Mr. and Mrs. Allen.
The agitation which she had experienced on first learning of her brother's engagement made Catherine expect to raise a similar emotion in Mr. and Mrs. Allen. How great was her disappointment?
Aye, well, we expected something of the sort.
Expected it? Dear Mrs. Allen, how could you have guessed?
My dear, they were always together.
But I never noticed them to be any way very partial, except in the way of a friendship.
It may be that you have been attending too much to your book and too little to the feelings of your friends. It has been rushed, though. It is not the way it should have been done.
Oh, well, young people, you know, Mr. Allen.
Oh, there have been too many unsupervised drives, in my opinion. Still, there is no doubt that Isabella is a fine-looking young woman. James is a decent, steady young man, and I imagine that they will contrive to have a good life.
Isabella may be a charming girl, but there is no doubt she is very fortunate in James.
But you are pleased.
Why should we not be pleased?
It is really a matter for your parents, though it would have been better, perhaps, if they had been consulted sooner.
We are sorry for you, my dear, for while her mind runs on the wedding, you will have lost your friend.
Oh, it does not matter if James and Isabella are happy. Besides, I hope to see more of Miss Tilney. I am to lunch with them tomorrow.
We must hope she does not get engaged this season. You would not want to lose another friend.
Before her eagerly anticipated visit to the Tilneys, Catherine called on Isabella to join Mrs. Thorpe and John in supporting her while opening the letter from Fullerton.
I have had no difficulty in gaining the consent of my kind parents, and am promised that everything in their power shall be done to forward my happiness.
Oh, Mother!
Oh, Isabella, that is good news.
Any word on the settlement?
Hush, John.
Well, I've always said it. Morland is one of her finest fellows.
I am giddy with happiness.
It is too much for her.
Oh, my dearest Catherine, hold me. I know I shall run mad.
Come, Isabella, you must rest. Think of your health, my darling.
You are right, Mother. Please help me to my room.
Shall I come with you?
You must not look after me, dearest. You must let your own emotions run free. Look to her, John.
Yes, John. Stay with Catherine. She, too, must be affected by the news.
There is no need. I am to call on Miss Tilney.
Come, daughter.
Adieu, Catherine.
Glad to have this chance to see you. I must say goodbye.
I did not know you were going anywhere.
London, for a few weeks. I only stayed to know that it was settled between James and Bella.
I'm sure you will enjoy yourself in London.
It's a famous good thing, this marrying scheme, upon my soul. A clever fancy of your brother and Bella. What do you think of it, Miss Morland? I say it is no bad notion.
I think it is a very good one.
Do you? Well, that's honest, by heavens. I'm glad you have nothing against matrimony. Did you ever hear the old song, going to one wedding brings on another? How does it go now, Miss Paula?
I'm afraid I do not know the song.
Oh, you must have heard it.
Indeed, I have not.
Oh. We may even try the truth of this same old song.
May we? I cannot say.
Oh, hang it, I'm not cut out for this parlour talk. I mean, if you were beside me in a smart gig, you would understand my meaning soon enough.
Well, I do not think I should, for I can never hear above the noise of the wheels. Well, goodbye, Mr. Thorpe.
Oh, don't hurry away. Well, who knows when we may be together again?
I really must.
I do not want to disappoint my friend.
Oh, that's good of you. You know, you've a monstrous deal of good nature. A monstrous deal. Upon my soul, I do not know anybody like you.
There are a great many people like me, I dare say.
I shall come and pay my respects at Fullerton before too long.
My father and mother will be very glad to see you.
I hope, Miss Morland, you will not be sorry to see me.
Oh, not in the least. There are very few people I am sorry to see. You know, company is always cheerful.
Yes, just my way of thinking, exactly. Let me only be where I like and with a girl I like, and devil take the rest, say I.
That is very liberal of you.
Fortune is nothing to me. If she had not a penny, why, so much the better.
I agree with you. To marry for money, I think, is the wickedest thing in existence.
My notion, exactly. I say it's damnably shabby and mean. I knew we would agree in the end.
And now I really must leave. We shall be very glad to see you at Fullerton, whenever it is convenient.
Well, goodbye, Miss Morland. I shall raise a glass to you in London.
Catherine's expectations of pleasure from her visit to the Tilneys were so high that disappointment was inevitable.
Miss Morland, may I present my brother, Captain Frederick Tilney?
He will spend his leave here with us.
How do you do, ma'am? How do you do? Yes. My sister tells me there is to be a species of dance held this evening. Do you intend being there, Miss Morland?
Yes, I am looking forward to it.
Well, I shall be there. As long as nobody expects me to dance, I make it a rule never to dance on this kind of occasion.
Well, you will not be popular in Bath, Frederick, if you are such a foe to dancing.
That's as may be, Eleanor. You, at any rate, will not be there to see whether your brother dances or not, huh?
Yes, Father.
I had thought you would be there.
No, I'm to keep Father company here tonight.
My daughter spent too much time abroad of late.
Well, I shall miss you this evening.
She'll be sorry not to have your company. She's often expressed the desire to know you better. Is that not so, Eleanor?
Yes, Father.
Perhaps we may hope to share the good fortune of your friends, the Allens, and see more of you. Oh, is that the time? Luncheon! Henry, take Miss Morland's arm.
Yes, Father.
In spite of all General Tilney's great civilities towards her, it was a release to get away from Milsom Street. Catherine was still puzzling over it that evening at the Allens, as she dressed for the upper rooms. It could not be General Tilney's fault. That he was perfectly agreeable and good-natured did not admit of a doubt. He could not be accountable for his daughter's want of spirits, or for her own want of enjoyment in his company.
Isabella! Isabella!
My dear! What is it?
Oh, nothing. I'm just glad that you are here, that's all. You were so overcome earlier, I feared you would not be here.
I have only come because you wish it. I shall make a sad spectacle tonight. The thought of dancing without your brother is abhorrent.
There will be people to talk to, I dare say.
I care as little for conversation. It's all gossip and teasing. Oh, by the way, I have just heard something about your Miss Tilney that you should know about.
Well, what did you hear?
I will tell you another time. I see the Hodges, and I must have a word with Lydia Hodge. Her cousin Charles is sure to plague me to dance, but I shall disappoint him. Adieu, my dearest.
Good evening, Miss Morland.
Mr. Tilney.
How do you do, Miss Morland? Well, brother, I suppose you are to follow the native custom and ask Miss Morland to dance.
That is my intention.
Good. Miss Morland, could you answer a question for me?
If I can.
The name of the young woman you were talking to just now, over there with the woman in green and the fellow with no chin.
Oh, that is my particular friend, Isabella Thorpe.
Now, let me ask your opinion. Do you think your friend might be persuaded to dance?
Oh, you wish to dance with Isabella?
I may as well.
Well, Isabella has told me that she does not mean to dance.
Ah, I see.
I am sorry, but she has just now become engaged to be married. I believe she has no thought for anything else.
In that case, I shall take my disappointment elsewhere. Miss Morland, Henry.
Frederick?
Oh, dear. He did say at lunch that he did not intend to dance. It was so very good-natured of him to think of it. I suppose he saw Isabella sitting down and fancied she might wish for a partner. Why are you smiling?
How very little trouble it can give you to understand the motive of other people's actions.
I do not understand you.
Ah, but I understand you very well. If you like, we may now take the floor. May I?
Oh.
What is it? I see.
I cannot think how it could happen. Isabella was so determined not to dance.
And did Isabella never change her mind before?
When the young ladies next met, James Morland's second letter was received, and the kind intentions of his father fully explained.
A living of about £400 and an estate of equal value when he is old enough.
Oh, Isabella, this is wonderful news.
It is very charming indeed.
Mr. Morland has behaved handsomely by his own lights.
I am very happy for you. It seems a very liberal settlement.
James will not receive it until he is 21.
£400 is a sadly small income to begin married life on.
I do not think it is small.
I wonder how he are to survive. Indeed, I do.
Your wishes are so moderate. You do not consider how little you ever want, my dear.
Yes, Mama.
If Mr. Morland finds he can do more by and by, I dare say he will. I'm sure he is an excellent, good-hearted man.
I cannot bear to be the means of injuring my dear Morland, making him sit down upon an income hardly enough to find the common necessaries of life.
I dare say when Mr. Morland sees how lovely you are... Do not let us distress our dear Catherine by talking of such things.
No, Mama.
I know my father has promised to do as much as he can afford.
It is not the want of more money that hurts me.
She has always been careless of her own good.
If our union could take place now upon only £50 a year, I should be happy. My Catherine, you have found me out. There's the sting. 2.5 long, endless years are to pass before your brother can hold the living.
Yes. Yes, my darling Isabella, we perfectly see into your heart. You have no disguise. We perfectly understand the present vexation.
If Catherine had any concern about the tone of the conversation between Isabella and her mother, it was rapidly superseded on her next visit to Miss Tilney by some alarming news.
By the end of another week? Must you go so soon?
My father has decided. We are to leave Bath. I'm afraid he is in a great hurry to get home.
When will I see you again?
Miss Morland.
Yes.
There is something I should like to ask you.
Well, I don't know.
Father?
Am I to congratulate you on being successful in your application to your fair friend?
I was just beginning to make the request, sir.
Well,
as you
proceed, proceed by all means.
Miss Morland, it would make us very happy.
My daughter's been forming a very bold wish. My presence is wanted at home, and being disappointed in my hope of seeing the Marquis of Longton and General Courtney here, some of my very old friends, there is nothing to detain me any longer in Bath.
Oh, I'm very sorry to hear it.
Now,
indeed,
the question is, can you be prevailed on to quit this scene of your public triumph and oblige your friend Eleanor with your company at Northanger Abbey?
Northanger Abbey?
Well, Miss Morland, will you visit us?
I am already the guest of Mr. and Mrs. Allen.
Ah, I've called on your excellent friends in Pulteney Street, and they've been most generous in raising no objection.
That was kind of them.
Alas, we can offer you nothing like the gaieties of Bath. Yet no endeavours shall be wanted on our side to make Northanger Abbey agreeable to you.
I will write home directly, and if they do not object, as I dare say they will not...
Hear that, Eleanor? Some daughters, you see, are an example of duty and obedience.
Yes, Father.
I say no more, except that I believe my daughter may benefit from your example.
Catherine obtained the permission of her parents and spent her remaining days in Bath in perfect contentment. One evening, shortly before the date of her departure for Northanger Abbey, she received a visitor.
James! You're back! When did you arrive?
Yesterday. I would have come to see you sooner.
Oh, there is no need to explain. Your place is with Isabella.
Yes.
How are Mama and Papa?
They are well. Oh. They send their love. Still Udolpho, I see.
I still prefer it to anything else of the kind.
I remember you and Isabella used to read it.
Oh, we have not done so as much as we used to.
I hear you are off to Northanger Abbey with the Tilneys.
But the day after tomorrow.
I shall miss you. All the Tilneys are going, I suppose.
Well, I imagine so, yes.
Captain Tilney as well.
Oh, no, not Captain Tilney. Eleanor told me that he is staying at Milsom Street until he rejoins the regiment.
You and Isabella are very much in each other's company, talking of books and so forth. You must confide in each other.
Oh, yes. We talk of absolutely everything.
And she is content, you find?
Well, how could she not be? Now, our father has given his consent. I have not seen her for a few days. You must be the reason for that.
Yes.
Is anything wrong?
No, nothing at all. Why do you ask?
You look so serious, that's all.
I wish sometimes that our family had some fortune to speak of.
Whatever do you mean?
If I had a fortune, we could marry sooner. I would like to be able to provide her with the kind of house and everything she deserves.
You must not let that cast you down. I know Isabella was upset that you could not be married immediately. But as for fortune, that means nothing to her. She told me so herself.
You are a gem, Kitty. I love you very much.
Come and sit here, Catherine. This is my favourite place. It is so out of the way.
Since you and James have become engaged, we see less of each other, not more.
I have been amazingly busy.
Who are you looking for?
Nobody. Nobody at all.
Well, you always tell me how penetrating I am. This time I know exactly what you are thinking.
Really?
It is perfectly plain. You are looking out for James.
Please, Catherine. It would be hideous for your brother and I always to be together. People would think us mighty odd.
Surely not.
Depend upon it. We should be the jest of the place. When is it you go to Northanger?
The day after tomorrow.
You should know the rumours that are going around about Miss Tilney. I have been looking for an opportunity to tell you.
I have not heard anything but good about Miss Tilney.
Do not be such a simpleton. Because a person looks sensible, that does not mean she is so. If you must know, your Miss Tilney formed a most unfortunate attachment. I don't know exactly who the young man is, only that he is vulgar and penniless.
I don't believe a word of it.
I have it on the highest authority. Poor General Tilney is distracted. He has forbidden her to see the young man.
Honestly, Isabella, why do you listen to these stories?
Well, you have done well enough out of it. The necessity of removing Miss Tilney from Bath has secured your trip to Northanger Abbey.
Please, let us change the subject. What is it you keep looking for?
Nobody. There is another matter. John has written to me from London. You can guess the contents, I suppose.
No, indeed I cannot.
There is no need to affect ignorance. He writes that he as good as made you an offer, and that you received his advances in the kindest way.
But I did not. I can scarcely recall any conversation with him.
You were alone with him in our parlour for an entire morning.
When?
The day your father's consent came. You cannot deny that.
Oh, that, but there was but 5 minutes' conversation. Your brother was trying to remember some song or other. I never gave him any encouragement.
I confess that when I read John's letter, I thought it a foolish business. What would you have lived on? There is no doing without money, whatever the romancers say. He must not have received my letter.
What letter?
Oh, never mind that. Look away quickly.
Whatever for?
It's Captain Tilney. He comes here on purpose to plague me.
Well, then let us go.
I will not give him that satisfaction.
Ah, Bell. What is this? Always to be watched in person or by proxy. Good day to you, Miss Morland.
You will find nobody watches me. My spirit, you know, is pretty independent.
If your heart were independent, that would be enough for me.
What can you have to do with hearts? You men have none of you any hearts.
No. We should be going now.
We may not have hearts, Belle, but we have eyes, and they give us torment enough.
Isabella, I think you must go.
You go on. I am to wait for my mother. I'm sorry your eyes find me so disagreeable, Tilney. I will look another way. I hope this pleases you. I hope your eyes are not tormented now.
Even more so, for the edge of a blooming cheek is still in view.
Catherine reluctantly withdrew. It seemed that Henry's brother was falling in love with Isabella, and that Isabella was unconsciously encouraging him. Unconsciously, it must be, for her attachment to James was certain.
Careful with those!
Mr. Allen, I'm sorry to deprive you of your charming young charge. We're in your debt, sir.
We are very sorry to lose her, but we are happy that she's in good hands.
Yes.
Well, Catherine, this is goodbye.
I shall miss you and Mrs. Allen.
We will all be together again soon enough. Goodbye, General. You will find Catherine cheerful company.
Pleasure to meet you again, sir. A pleasure.
Goodbye, Mr. Allen.
Now, Miss Morland, you must sit out of the way of the commotion. Careful! You find us in great disorder today. It's scarcely to be tolerated. Henry!
Father?
Henry, attend to Miss Morland. She's being neglected.
Yes, Eleanor! Ma'am.
Yes?
Where's Frederick?
I do not think he has risen yet.
Not risen yet? It's almost 9 o'clock. Well, come with me. There are matters to be attended to.
Yes, Father.
Come on, we have to be out of Milton Street by 10. Come on!
You are very quiet today.
I was wondering why Captain Tilney does not come to Northanger Abbey with us.
We are very isolated. I imagine he wishes to enjoy as much company as